Well, I'll just dig right in here to the second part of this series entitled Exhortations from the Father. And just to briefly review, I shared last week that God instructed me to share these different words and exhortations, words of prophecy, that he began to sow into my life in times of fellowship with him from the early years. And, you know, it's still a sign and a wonder to me when I look at these things, because when I started out, I knew I'd received these from the throne room. There was no doubt about that. But I didn't have the word in me the way I do now. And to go over this and to review these things, it really blesses my heart to know that he is indeed preparing us, both individually and corporately, to be a glorious church. And I mean perfectly. So I'm just going to continue sharing the words and go at the speed the Holy Spirit desires me to go at. And it's just my prayer that each and every one will begin to have their vision expanded and their heart enlarged to get hold of these things, because we are going to walk in them. And that's, I mean, I've had glimpses over the years of certain things. He's always been faithful to confirm his word with signs and wonders. And in confirming it, he would take me through times where he would give me glimpses. And, you know, it would have been nice if it could just stay in that, but he had a lot more work to do so that in preparing us, we could be those pure vessels. So the first word is, as you resist the devil continually, so shall he be in a constant state of fleeing before you. Now, this is going to be one of the most remarkable and excellent manifestations of the glorious church. The fact is that as we guard our heart with all diligence, as we take the steps to resist him, to stand in faith, to believe that in that which we've been redeemed into and redeemed out of, stand against that, then we are going to be resisting the devil. And because of that, we will be a people that go forth in obedience. And as we move forth in obedience to the Holy Spirit, he will be in a constant state of fleeing before you. And a lot of things are going to happen in that. I'm not going to try and explain them all now. But one thing that will happen is that many strongholds, sometimes in many cases where it's been prayed for many years, are going to drop off, because he can no longer hold his position in front of the release of the glorious church and the Holy Spirit being poured out through that church. So I just want to encourage everybody who is believing, and I mean really believing, something that is a revelation from God, something that is an aspect of covenant, stand fast and hold fast to that, because we haven't seen anything yet. And everything that has, every revelation, every vision that has had faith applied to it, will not only come to pass, but it will come to pass in the fullness of the way God intended. And again, that's far beyond our comprehension. Right now, we're in a state where we just like to see the thing, the stronghold, be broken and fall off. But we will see the glory of God manifested in that. Every time a stronghold is broken through, the glory of God just goes forth and is able to establish exactly what God intended. So just hold fast. Our job is to believe and to stand in faith, but these things will come to pass. And then, you know, through the years, there's been many times where we're under it. I mean, boy, we're in battle. We're in persecution. It's like we just think if we could just get free of this, it would be so nice. But I found myself in those early years, and believe me, the devil was trying to keep me from going further. I'll just read this. I asked the Lord, what causes the believer who has been under intense persecution, and it lifts, to desire wholeheartedly to get right back into the heat of the battle? And he simply said, faith and love. In other words, our love for him and the exercising of faith through that love. And because it amazed me, because I came out of a place where, you know, I thank God it's Friday type of attitude, you know. Just work, do what you have to do, then Friday it's golf, you know. That's it. I had a very simple life. It wasn't very intelligent, but it was very simple. And so I found myself in the early years of serving him going through all manner of different things. And, you know, I just, instead of putting my feet up, I would say, oh, let's go back and do this again. And it was him, you know, because that's not the way I was. So it's funny to look back now, but you can really in certain places where God gives you glimpses, see the work that he's doing in you. And of course, you give him glory for that. I've often said that it's, you know, the Christian life is, it's like watching a tree, sitting in your backyard watching a tree grow. Well, you really can't see anything. You know the tree's growing by faith, but you sure can't see it grow. But you come back in 5 years, or any allotted amount of time that way, you'll see the growth. So it's the same with us. And here's an important one. If you doubt yourself, that's in Christ, in any way, you are doubting me. Now here's where the spirit of condemnation is so vile. Because, you know, we talk about spiritual reality, but the fact is this, and the Bible says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, there's the key. If we're walking after the Spirit, we're not going to get condemnation. But the fact is, and again, spiritual reality, is that if we allow ourselves to remain in condemnation, then the actual reality of that situation is that we're doubting him. And we're actually denying the blood of Jesus in our own lives. That's a very serious thing. Now, I know God's borne with us over these years and in our ignorance. But I'll tell you, the revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus is coming forth. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. One of the deepest desires of the Father's heart is to exalt the name of Jesus in such a way as to make that precious sacrifice, that precious blood, to be shown for exactly what it is, the most tremendous thing that's ever happened in this earth. And it's going to happen. So you could see as the age goes on, the days go on, you're going to see the judgment of God come upon any situation that denies the blood of Jesus. And we as Christians should not be denying the blood of Jesus. That's why as we walk by faith, we're going to be in that place where we're not only not denying it, but we are actually causing it to be exercised in our lives and in the behalf of those who cross our path. See, again, spiritual reality, absolutes, the kingdom. We serve an absolute God. He's not diminishing his character in any way to reach down to us. When he came down to us, he came down in perfection. He came down with a heart that was wholly given to God to carry out that task that he was given in perfect obedience. The same thing is required of us. And to do anything less denies the blood of Jesus. We thank God in his great grace and mercy that he's stayed with us and that he has brought us through to the place we are now. But I tell you that every Christian walking the face of the earth will be held accountable to the way that they approach the blood of Jesus in this last hour. And that's a good thing. Because when the power of the blood of Jesus is working in its fullness in our lives, we're going to be free. Free to do what? Free to do the will of God. Free to hurt the devil at every turn. Free to cause the greatest eternal benefit of God to come into the lives of those who he brings across our path. You see, again, this is spiritual reality. And this is where we need to walk. And again, those who are truly seeking God understand that we are accountable to him. And that all accountability begins and ends before him, before his face, in the throne room. There is accountability amongst people, but in those walking by the Spirit. People who gather together and call themselves accountable to each other but walk after the flesh, that's just foolishness. It has nothing, and God has no part in that. So it's very important for us to have our minds renewed, to be in a position, saturate our hearts with the Word of God, begin to see things through the Father's eyes, begin to understand his heart, to be one with his heart. You know, the Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. I know it seems sometimes like the life of faith and walking in love, you know, through persecution and all manner of things that come towards us. Sometimes it seems like that's hard, but that's not true. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, and the way of the righteous is level or smooth. It doesn't mean there's not, it just means that you'll be able to manage that course by the power of God within you. It gets hard when we try to do it in our own strength. I've never had a hard time doing anything when God was empowering me fully, and neither has anybody else. But it's getting to that place where we're abiding in that empowerment. So that's very, very important for us to get an image, to see ourselves as God sees us. And I've said this before also. If we have a revelation, a burning revelation, day in, day out, of the Father's love for us, we will not be overwhelmed by the fear of man. We will have divine approval. And when you have divine approval, it may not be pleasant when you're dealing with people who don't approve you or approve of you or reject you, but deep in your heart, that thing, that power, that revelation, that image will sustain you through everything. Because you can always, no matter what situation you're in, go back into the presence of God, and He's always there, always the same, always faithful. You know, again, simple things. But now the excellent thing is that God is raising up a people on the earth who are actually putting these things into practice. And they're not allowing themselves to be overwhelmed by the enemy. Another manifestation of the third day anointing, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to the greatest we've ever seen. He said, anytime there's a manifestation of my power, fear will encompass the hearts of those who practice sin. Now that's practice sin. And cause them to draw back rather than draw near. Now, from this day forth, we're going to see a continual escalation, again, in this separation between those who truly love God and those who don't. Now, those who practice sin are those who have made a willful decision, and they're out in darkness, not the people who are trying to receive the empowerment of God to walk above the thing. And so it's going to cause many to draw back from the revelation coming forth from the throne room. And in drawing back, you see, you're always in a certain position. So even though you're drawing back from what is good, you're going to fall into the trap of what is bad. In other words, you're either going to enter into the place that God has you in, or you're going to fall back into the place Satan wants you in, the place of darkness, a place where there is no power, and a place where there is no revelation, and a place where there is no relationship with God, which is the catalyst to divine empowerment and that power going forth through us. So we're going to see that in this last hour. In other words, what some people call obedience to the Lord is nothing more than service to Satan. Again, it's hard to bypass the scripture in 2 Timothy 2:26 where Paul talked about people being held captive by Satan to do his will. And he was talking about the church. Now, there are many who don't believe that can happen. But I tell you, it can happen, and it does happen, and it's happening to a very great degree through a simple deception. And so God is going to deal with that. And I think one of the saddest and most tragic things I've seen, and it's not over yet, is that there are many that I've seen who believe with all their heart they're the center of God's will when they're not. So it behooves every last Christian on the face of this earth to find that out, because when we go on from here, that is going to be the catalyst to either great light and kingdom living, or it's going to be a catalyst to great weeping and gnashing of teeth and torment out in the darkness of the world. And that's the way it is. Another expression he gave me was the fasted life. Now, we all know that we can't set out a bunch of rules and regulations about what to eat and what to do and to make ourselves holy. So, you know, it's nothing to get legalistic about. A fasted life is simply the obedient life. What that means to each believer is you do and you carry out whatever the Holy Spirit is causing you to or telling you to do. In other words, remain in the place where you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and then do what He says. That's it. You know, that's the whole thing. You don't need a 3,000-page book to figure out what to do. And that's, of course, different for each individual believer. But the fasted life will always cause us to abide in the place where we're doing those things which are profitable. And how do you define profitable? The things that cause us to carry out the will of God. That's what's profitable. Sometimes God gives us things to do that don't look profitable. Certainly in the eyes of the world, they don't. But ultimately, when we're faithful to do that, they will be seen to be profitable. And, you know, one of the scriptures that comes to mind is, it says that even though the sinner prospers. You know, don't be envious of that. Don't be moved by that. You hold fast the course in faith, and the fullness of God's blessing will come. I'm not sure why I'm going to this now, but I'm going to do it anyways. The fact is that we know that there's a glorious church being raised up and that God is going to do many great and glorious things. And apparently I'm not going to do that right now. So I will go on, and it will either come back now or it will come back sometime later, but I'll just go on. It was good, though. I wanted to see what he was going to say. So, all right, perfect timing, Lord, perfect timing. Another word he gave me, put me in remembrance of my covenant with you. Now, you know, we've been dealing with this whole area of proclaiming, you know, apostolic, prophetic proclamation, speaking out of the revelation that's in our hearts collectively. Very, very important. As a matter of fact, I can tell you, God, in the early years, when the situation I was in, and he separated me unto himself, day in, day out, I would proclaim scriptures, hours. Some days it was glorious. You know, I would do two scriptures and God would spend an hour with me on the scripture. Other days it was 5 hours of gritting my teeth and just saying it. But the fact is, it's very important to speak that which God gives us to speak in Revelation. In that way, we put him in remembrance of our covenant. And, you know, I've said this before, it's extremely important. We are going to need to walk in every aspect of the covenant that is ours in Christ. We are. And that, again, that goes back to what I said about the blood. That's the way we honor the blood totally. I mean, Jesus didn't die on the cross and shed his blood so that, you know, we can have a bit of revelation here and have our brains beat up by the devil there. No. We are going to need the whole thing, a revelation of every aspect. There are many people who have a revelation of parts of the covenant, but are totally ignorant in other parts, or even don't believe it, or are in rebellion against it. Well, where do you think the devil's going to attack? But you see, when God raises up a people who have a revelation of every aspect of the covenant, where is he going to attack? The answer is he can't. That's precisely why we're on the offensive, and that we will run roughshod over him in this final hour. So, that's very important. He says, put me in remembrance of my covenant with you. Feel free to do that at any time. If one's love is pure, then it will not matter how many times it is abused by flesh and blood. For it will always spring forth, even in the face of the most vile persecution, constant and never changing in its desire to bless all with its presence, or God's presence. Rejoice, my beloved ones, for the seeds of love which you have planted in faith in a time of famine have now reached fruition. And truly I say to you, you shall reap the joy which you have sown in tears. Now, that is an amazing word. Of course, it encompasses a few scriptures there. But the fact is, we're being raised up as vessels of God's love. And I mean, love is the most powerful force in the universe. God is love. And the fact is that God has spent a lot of time, and there's been some tears, and I'm not talking about ungodly sorrow. There's been many tears shed in the past in intercession. There's been many tears shed in over different things that have happened. But the fact is, those who have continued in faith, those who have held fast the vision, are going to reap great joy. Now, what is our strength? The joy of the Lord. Again, talking about the empowerment of the glorious church. And of course, all these things we've tasted. But I'm telling you that as all these things come together, it's going to be an exponential increase in these things, including joy. One of the chief characteristics of the kingdom is what? Joy. Peace. And we are going to see these things in abundance. We don't need anything else, to be honest with you. The fact is, when you have the peace of God, or the assurance that you're in the center of his will, nothing can stop you. And when you have the joy of the Lord, the strength is there to do whatever it takes. So there's a great promise to those who have held fast the vision. They will reap great joy in this last hour. Those who've held faithful, held fast to God in faithfulness, through famine, through whatever, are going to reap these things. You know, I'm not going to go into this now for sure because this is a whole other teaching. But the fact is, there are many different mindsets in the church, particularly in the second day as we knew it. And there was a lot of persecution against Christians who walked in faith. Because a lot of people tried faith. And they attempted to go out and walk in faith. But they always dragged their feet. And they never wholly gave themselves to doing that. You don't attempt to walk in faith. You either walk in faith or you don't. And the fact is, there was a lot of persecution came forth to people who God was raising up, accusing them of being irresponsible, all the different things that they themselves were. Because when a person speaks of the flesh, it's always a Romans 2:1 situation. They accuse others out of what's in their heart. And that's fact. That's an absolute truth. And the fact is, when we make sure that we're walking in faith, we're walking in love, we're walking in obedience, then those types of things will fall short of their intended attack. But there was a lot of persecution, and it made it very difficult. And that's the reason why God had to separate us from the mainstream. Because in staying in the mainstream, we would have been contaminated to some degree. And we never would have been able to receive the pure revelation that God has. So, again, going back to that, a lot of people walked in faith, even though people convinced them they were wrong, they were not in the will of God, and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you this right now, that God will vindicate every ounce of faith and love that you've exercised throughout the years. Even though it seems like it tarries, and I don't even know, it doesn't even matter if it's manifested in this side of heaven. But the fact is, every act of faith and love, every ounce of faith and love will be vindicated by God. So we're in an excellent position. Boy, I said this a number of months ago. I said, boy, this would be the dumbest time to give up as a Christian. And, you know, since then, it seems like we've come light years on since then. So it really would be a dumb time to quit now. But the fact is that that is the Father's promise, that he's watching, he knows exactly what's been going on, and everything will be vindicated. The prerequisite to being, there's the next word right there, yikes, this is perfect. He says, you must never seek your own vindication, for I vindicate my own. And again, that goes back, that's very important, because inherent in the old nature is the desire to avenge ourselves. And especially when you're in a position where you know what you did or said was of God, there's a very strong urge that the devil tries to pull out and get us to act or speak on. But we can't. And that's a process of learning. And that's where that fellowship with the Father's Word comes in so handy, because it takes divine empowerment to not do that, especially when, like I said, when you know you're right. So sometimes silence is golden. The prerequisite to being a pure and mighty vessel of the revelation of my love to my people is the deep heart desire to speak the uncompromised truth at all times. Now, this word hits right at the root of what God wants to deal with us in, and that is the fear of man. When we are in right fellowship with God, then he develops this deep heart desire to speak and act in a manner of non-compromise. That is so important. It's not easy, but it's so important, because when you do that, the power of God is manifested in that situation. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. Doesn't even matter what you think. When you're faithful to do that, God can accomplish his greatest purpose. That's all we need to know. Sometimes we'll see it immediately. Sometimes we won't. But again, it will be vindicated, those actions, in the days ahead. That's very important. This is kind of a word off a scripture that Paul had. The Father said, let death never cease to work in you. Now that's the death of the cross. That's the death, the obedience unto death of the self-life we're talking about here. That life may never cease to flow out to others. Again, by faith, as we move forward in obedience. And when you're walking in obedience, you are walking in a spirit of self-denial. Sometimes that's easy, sometimes that's not so easy, outwardly. But we can know that life and the full character of God is flowing out. The life, the love, the light of God is flowing out in that situation. You see, a lot of these things deal with us becoming a people that are no longer walking by the five physical senses. We have physical senses. We have emotions that try to rise up and all these things. But what I'm talking about is God raising up a people whose sole and final authority is the revelation of his word, of his will. Now that's what we're being prepared for. And we're going to walk on the heights of this earth because of that. And we're not going to be moved to and fro by every wind of false doctrine or what people are saying or doing, what the devil's trying to do. And the devil knows this because I just know that God just keeps giving him a glimpse, just letting him see glimpses through his people that are already walking in these things. And it's a painful experience for him. The devil is totally terrorized by the Holy Spirit. Always has been, always will be. And guess who abides in us? Every step of obedience you take will manifest itself as a blessing from me. Now, that's an empowerment. I mean, sure, that means that we'll receive things, that things will overtake us, but those things are to empower us to carry out the will of God. Like I said earlier, the residue of what God passes through us as his holy vessels is more than sufficient. We don't have to be a people who are seeking after things to obtain things. We just need to be seeking after the fullness of God's will, and those things will be added unto us and overtake us. And again, that very residue is a wondrous thing. And of course, we will have the tools, spirit, soul, body, and financially, to empower people, to lead them into the fullness of God's will for their life in whatever way God has us do that in that time. These are promises. You know, and I've gone over these, I was just thinking earlier today, literally in the thousands of times. I've gone over and over these, whether it's through listening to them on tape or whatever. And it's a remarkable thing to me, the things that God has done and continues to do, because we're going to see the fullness of his promises. But in every one of these cases, I had to take his promise, and of course it lined up with his word. I had to take his promise and stand on it for however long. And it's just, it's an amazing thing to me. But we're going to see the fullness of this, and we're going to see an army walking like this. And that's a very excellent thing. Again, he said, it is a time of great joy, for the manifestation of my glorious church draws near. Again, the joy. I mean, I remember one day I experienced a joy. It was a supernatural joy. I mean, it's supernatural joy here. I don't mean that. But it was a joy unspeakable. And I was picking it up from heaven. And it's everybody up there. They know what's going on. I mean, you know, it's an amazing thing to think that it's not too long before the devil will be taken out of commission. Oh, we know about the 1,000 years in the pit, short time after, what can that be? But the point is, forever. Man, that's a worthy goal right there. And then, you know, he spoke to me, one of the aspects of being in the inner chamber, and he said, the power with which you are charging yourself during the times of fellowship with me is more than enough to put you through. Now, I've preached at length on the inner chamber, but the simple fact of the matter is that when we are faithful to fellowship with God on his terms, day in and day out, in the inner chamber, regardless of what we feel like, when we come out of there, what we experience, it's more than enough to put us through. So when you begin the day with God and you enter out into the earth, you know by faith you have enough power in that day to do and say whatever it is, whether it's a quiet day, whether it's a busy day, you have that assurance. See, it's all about assurance. Because when you come into that place of continually walking in that place of fellowship with God, you will learn to trust him. You will learn to walk in an absolute trust. That means it doesn't make any difference what happens outwardly. You just automatically turn to trust God. Whatever that takes, however that manifests in that time. This is what it's all about. See, from these things I'm saying, you can understand or begin to understand how God is going to be able to release great power in this last hour. I mean, I understand it now. I mean, I know we've all had times where we think we're never going to be a fit vessel, you know, or if God manifested X amount of power, we'd probably all just drop dead. But God is God is preparing us perfectly. I mean, every time, every experience I've had with him has been perfect. You know, that's why, I mean, I guess one of the things he set out to give me was the fact that he is a God of pinpoint accuracy. And, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, I can miss him just a little bit, and all hell breaks loose. I mean, it's, and the devil's just waiting, you know? And so that just goes, okay. And it's always been that way. And I've never, you know, gone to God and said, well, Lord, this is too tough. I appreciate his wisdom, and I appreciate his perfection. And the fact that you're walking in pinpoint accuracy with the Lord, and his counsel and his wisdom is guiding you and leading you, that is a good place to be. So, you know, all these things are positive. They're not to the flesh. And that's why people who desire to remain in the flesh, they never get revelation. They never come to know God the way that he desires to be known by them. You must develop the attitude of intolerance. Now, I'm talking about a holy intolerance here, or he is, towards all influences, both inward and outward, which are apart from my revealed word or will. You must remain in the secret place of my presence, and therein develop the sensitivity of heart, which comes only through fellowship with me. Now, this whole thing about intolerance, that is a real dirty word in the world. I mean, that is, you get a group of politically correct people, and they're going to freak out when you say that. But we're talking about a holy intolerance. You know, and I think the simplest example would be sympathy, you know, as opposed to compassion. Well, sympathy would be tolerance of the unbelief and the doubt and the manifestation that's going on, whereas compassion or perfect love would be an example of intolerance, holy intolerance. So I'm not going to go into that a lot right now, but he says that we must have that attitude within us. We cannot in any way, shape, or form be found aligning ourselves with the lies of the devil, no matter how subtle. And of course, when you're dealing with people who don't have revelation in a certain area, they're already well-versed in doubt and unbelief. And so we have to have that sensitivity of heart so that we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I have to tell you, it's like, you know how when your heart's hard, you can't hear God, and you couldn't hear anything. But it's the exact opposite with the sensitivity of heart. He's the clearest voice that you'll hear. And it becomes, and of course, that's where he's bringing us to abide in that position. Again, a matter of positioning. The more intolerant you are of the unbelief in the person or persons you are ministering to, the greater will be their deliverance. In other words, if you'll stand fast in that place of holy intolerance, of wanting to speak the word of God in perfect love, speaking the truth in love at all times, the greater will be their deliverance. Now, they may get up and run out of the church angry as anything, but I'll tell you, if your faith remains on that, eventually God will get to them. So we never take our faith off base our faith on a situation. We base our faith on the revealed knowledge of God's word, and then when circumstances happen, we never take that off. And then we'll see the results. I mean, I'm just being blatant, but it could be a number of years down the road, and especially talking back to the years in our early experience. But we never take our faith off that. Doesn't mean we're thinking about it every day. But if it came to our remembrance, we say, no, that's what I said then. That's what I meant. And that thing is still going out there. The incorruptible seed of God's word is a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing. The devil has spent a lot of time getting people to believe that, oh, well, no, that's over. That's over. That's over. But when faith is exercised in the incorruptible seed of God's word, that seed will not disappear. I don't care what the devil tries to do. We're going to see this in one fell swoop. We're going to see the glorious church begin to knock these stupid lies that the devil has tried to put forth. Any time that somebody says something that gives the devil power, it's false. It has to be, in light of course, what Jesus has done. So we need to be intolerant of that unbelief. That's hard. You know, although these things aren't so hard now, but in the beginning, I can remember, oh, it was hard. And believe me, you know, you get tested in that. I mean, you get circumstances come up, and people that are generally the people that are close to you,
there's always something going through there. And I don't know how many tests there were, but there was an awful lot. But the only thing that saved me personally was that time in fellowship with God. And then when something happened, if I felt like I was getting overwhelmed, I'd just go back into the presence of God until I got it straight. And, you know, that serves a great purpose. And in this last hour, we will be a people that go out from the presence of God, do the works of God, go back into the presence of God, go out, do the works of God, and so on. From this time forth, you must never cater to anything which proceeds from the flesh. For I expect the same of those who are with you as I do of you, and that is to walk by my Spirit in obedience at all times. We can't cater. You know, when you sow to the flesh, it's not going to profit anything in the life of the person. You know, and if we don't know what to say, then we shouldn't say it. If we don't know what to do, we shouldn't do it. You know, sometimes, I remember a teaching a few weeks ago and talked about the difference between reacting and response. Well, that's not just in words. I mean, that could be in actions. So if we get in a situation where we don't know exactly what to do, our response may come a little later down the road. Doesn't matter. If we're wholly sold out, you know, to getting it exactly, to bear maximum fruit for the kingdom, then we will react properly. So we can never find ourselves catering. You know, a lot of times, and this was certainly a thing with me in the early years, I catered to people's flesh because it took the pressure off me. But boy, when I started to get a revelation of the fact that I was doing them in by doing that, and myself too, actually, that didn't work. The world thinks it works. That does not work. It was all about then getting the pressure off me. Now it's all about putting the pressure on the devil. That's what we should be doing. In this last hour, all will clearly see that any action which proceeds from the flesh in relationships between my children will lack the harmony and the peace and the joy. There's those two kingdom attributes which belong to those who walk in obedience to me. And I've seen that in my own, not here, but in other places. I've seen that. Those things are now lacking. And it's because people have taken, they've let go of the revelation that God gave them, and they're trying to do things in their own strength. It doesn't work. And that will be seen. But thank God, God's going to make everything evident. See, we're going to find out whose hearts are truly given to God. That's not our concern. How in heaven's day would we know unless God told us anyways? So the fact is, our job is to be one that's abiding in that place of our heart wholly given. And then in that way, we will be a light, a beacon, so to speak. In this case, a lighthouse. You think of a lighthouse being a beacon, but you also know there's storms coming. So the lighthouse is becoming a little more important as an analogy, spiritual analogy in the body of Christ. We need to be that lighthouse. You shall indeed gain a deep revelation of the dread of you being upon all those who cross your path. Again, another manifestation of the glorious church, the army on the move, and who desire to retain rebellion and willful sin in their lives. There is a major confrontation, coming up between the Holy Spirit in the hearts of God's people and the spirit of rebellion in the midst of God's people. It's his desire to drive it out, and drive it out he will. Very, very important. Again, we see the type and symbol in Korah's rebellion. I'm not going to go into that tonight, but I'll tell you, you talk about a perfect pattern in that area. That is it right there. That revelation of the dread. And that, again, that was mentioned a short time ago, talking about the Israelites and how when they began to go in to the promised land, how armies, whole armies fell before them without them even physically confronting them, because they'd heard the dread of God was in the people of Israel. I mean, and it went out on the people who were attacking them. We're going to see that. Another pattern. That's a great thing. You talk about putting Satan to flight. You know, he's not going to have such an easy time finding volunteers to shoot their mouth off in this last hour in arrogance and rebellion. Very serious. Very, very serious. As a matter of fact, I have a word on that. I don't have it with me right now, but God spoke to me in depth about that. And, you know, again, a pattern in Jesus' ministry. Did there not come a time where the Pharisees couldn't find anybody to go and ask them questions? You know, they kept sending them out, and he made them look like the perfect fool they were. And you know, the one thing in the old nature is inherent is pride. And you know, prideful people don't like to be made a fool of. Well, we will have the wisdom to do that. And we're talking about rebellious people now. I mean, people out there who are truly seeking God or whose heart is toward God, they're going to experience the love of God and the truth of God. But when people start insisting they're right and it degrades God or the person of God, that's not going to fly in this hour. I mean, Jesus is Lord, you know. I mean, if we had nothing else to meditate on, just meditate on those three words. Is Lord, not going to be. Yes. Man, that makes a big difference. Some people act like he's going to be. You know, like that Revelation 19 scripture. No, he is now, forever. In other words, there is no defense against true love. And again, that talks about us walking as pure vessels of God's love. And all the different elements or the attributes of that love going forth. There is no defense against that. As your capacity is enlarged to receive the fullness of my presence, you will find yourself in the Spirit instantaneously as you direct all of your energies towards me. Indeed, all those who have believed that I am a rewarder of those who seek me and continue to walk in that revelation will never be disappointed. You know, we have a covenant with God that says we'll never be disappointed, but it takes faith. See, that's why the word he gave me, all disappointment is the result of a misplaced faith. If you have faith in a revelation of God's word, you'll never be disappointed. Why? Because it will always come to pass. Not only will it come to pass, it will come to pass in a manner that's far beyond what you could have ever figured out from the beginning. And that's pretty good, even that initial revelation. These things are real, and that's part of our covenant. He also said, fear not, for you will not be ashamed. I mean, it's in there. We need to be those who are faithful to meditate in the word day and night because, you know, it's one thing. You know, we have to be aware of what the devil's doing and not be ignorant of his schemes. But things like condemnation and things that are not our inheritance, we need to resist against receiving those things. And reproach is part of that. All those who would seek me from a whole and pure heart have my guarantee that they shall be empowered to live every facet of their life in the supernatural. Remember the scripture, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see, they shall know God. And when we know God, when we see God, we're able to understand what's going on. When we have him abiding within us, we will live a supernatural life. And that is what God desires each one of his children to do. See, it's God is making things simple for us. I mean, thank God he's doing the work in us, but he's saying, believe, be ready, and just be diligent. Guard your heart with all diligence and walk in obedience. Again, put yourself in a position to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and do what he says. Very, very simple. And he's going to do it, and we're going to be partakers of that, partakers of his nature and partakers of the great and mighty works that he desires to do. It is the obedience of each individual member of the body which will allow the greater effect of the body to be manifested in the earth. Again, a very simple concept. As each individual believer comes into that place of obedience, abiding in the presence of God, comes to know him, and learns to walk by the Spirit, then, you see, God is able to orchestrate this thing perfectly by his power. I mean, when you've got people out there each trying to do their own thing, it's not hard to see why the mess that's out there is out there. Never be concerned with darkness, for my light will always transcend and remove any darkness which crosses your path. Another attribute of the third day church. A light cutting a swath through the darkness out there. It's like the parting of the Red Sea, kind of in a type. Somebody was preaching that a short time ago, and I thought about that as it applied to darkness, going forth, cutting a swath. And that was, again, one of the things I saw in that experience I had a number of years ago, just the Holy Spirit cutting a swath right through the darkness of a city, accomplishing all that God wanted to do. The devil couldn't do anything about it. And maybe that darkness fell back into place after, but not in the lives of those people that God touched. They were removed out of the darkness into the light. Again, a very important instruction in this hour, it always has been, saturate your heart. My beloved ones, for the time has come to receive all that I have for you. Now there's the promise to the church. All the years of preparation, all the years of learning to walk in obedience. And now God is saying, saturate your heart. Now, I guess every person has a different image of what the word saturate means to them. You ever been out in a thunderstorm in the middle of nowhere with no umbrella, you know what the word saturate means. And we need to do that with the Word of God and with His presence. And when we do those things, all these different promises will most certainly come to pass. He says it's time to receive all that He has for us. That's individually and corporately. I can tell you right now, we can't even imagine what that is. We can imagine, but we're never going to get the fullness of that. But it's a wondrous thing just to imagine all the things that God has. And that goes for all the promises, all the visions, all the revelations, both personally again and or individually and corporately. Another word. These are times of strengthening to prepare you perfectly for those things which are just ahead. Now we know that, don't we? We do that. This is not a time of battling things off. This is a time of strengthening to do exactly what we're called to do in this time. I don't care whether we feel strong. When we're doing the things that we know are strengthening us, day in, day out, and of course the devil's trying to say, oh no, trying to steal our joy, all those things, doesn't matter. God is strengthening us. He's preparing us perfectly for the things that are just ahead. Rest firmly in the knowledge that I have prepared you for every good work, that's every righteous work, and that your way has been prepared before you. Again. I mean, we're just going to walk into this thing. You know, we're not going to have a whole bunch of plans and what to do here. Now, this thing is so awesome. It encompasses so much. There isn't a book that would hold the plan, even if you knew it all. For surely, that's the wrong one. That would have gone good, but I just did that, so I guess I should go to this. Rest firmly in the knowledge that I have prepared you for every good work and that your way has been prepared before you. You know, there's a great thing, a great lie that's gone on in the church. People don't feel worthy of doing these things. God is saying, no, I've prepared your path before you. Why would a Christian take concern for what the path out before them is when it's already been prepared? Our job is, again, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and follow that voice. And we'll walk right into it. And people are trying to figure out what God's going to have them do. You talk about falling short of what God would have you do. But God just has a way of taking people who the world looks upon as incapable and making them do things that will astound the world. He's done it time and time again, and He's going to do it again in this final hour. Rest in my love, for indeed I shall send my people to you. Now this goes back to something you said, Marcia. I think you had a dream, didn't you, about an explosion, about people coming. Well, of course, we know the scripture about people coming to Zion. This is going to happen. We need to be seeking God individually and corporately to be prepared, whatever that may mean. I'm not saying there's going to be 10,000 people come through that door. That's not my point. It's not about people here. It's about affecting people. It's about people's hearts. See, when God sends somebody, their heart has to be towards God, because God could send people all day and they're not coming if they want to do their own thing. So the fact is, the people that are coming have hearts that are wholly given, hearts towards God, towards knowing Him. And it doesn't take long to get to know Him when you put yourself in the right position, especially when you're coming out of the world or denominational structure. So He says, I'm going to send my people to you. That's why God's raising up true spiritual environments, so He has a place to send them to. He's not going to, I mean, I've seen this over the years. I got to a point, I was interceding over the city I was in, and I said one to the Father, I said, Father, you know something? If somebody came and received you, received the new birth, I wouldn't even know where to send them. I meant that seriously, too. I went right to him, I said it. And that, of course, that began this whole revelation of true spiritual environments and the necessity for that. Now, of course, he made do, and that doesn't mean there weren't some righteous things going on in different places. But, you know, from the beginning, I've always seen it, it's God's will for his people to be uncontaminated, to be pure-hearted, to know him, and not to operate in religious activity, but to know him and to act out of relationship as their source. It's a simple thing, but you got 2,000 years of junk the devil's tried to heap on God's people. It's about to come off. Now, they can maintain that if they want, but they're going to have an opportunity to come into the fullness of God's destiny for their life. So he says, I shall send my people to you just as I have called them to present themselves before me. In other words, these people have come into his presence and they said, God, you know what? And then he sends them. He'll get them to the right spot. It could be the internet. It could be many different ways. Many different ways. But he's faithful. I mean, I'm amazed at the way that he did that with me, because for the first few years, he began to show me different things. And I mean, I would go into a Christian bookstore and he would show me exactly what book to get. I had no idea who anybody was or what they were saying. And then when I would read that, he would confirm the parts that were of him. Because we have had glimpses of the third day all along, of the glorious church all along. And we have the Holy Spirit and he can help us discern that. But now God has raised up true spiritual environments. And if people want to know absolute truth, then they can get it. They can get it. And God will send them to the places they need to go. And he says, as the hearts of my people turn back towards me, you, and that means those who are faithful, those who are ministering the uncompromised word of God, will be sought out from far and wide. Now that's good news. I mean, all the years God spends training us not to seek a platform, not to exalt ourselves, not to seek after the approval of men. And so now, when he can send people to these places, these true environments, we just are blessed with a great joy that people are going to experience what we've experienced. Isn't that simple? But boy, when people start to get into this approval of men and being men pleasers instead of God pleasers, it goes right out the window, and the sheep once again are mistreated. Well, I'll tell you, in this last hour, God is sending those who reach out towards him to the true environments, and they will get the goods that they need. That is good news, and we rejoice in that. For they shall need to hear the wisdom which I have placed in your heart, and those who come initially in obedience to my spirit shall receive. Sometimes that's been an amazing thing itself in the church. When somebody receives, it's a cause for celebration. But these people will receive. Receive what? Receive the revelation that vast numbers of saints have gained in their relationship, their faithful relationship with God over many years. And he showed this to me a long time ago. I came out of youth group one night, and this would be 1983. And, you know, I just was in almost a continuous war with the devil. And I had these precious kids. I mean, you talk about a glimpse of the glorious church. These kids, some of them were, they weren't really raised in church. Some of these people came right off the streets. They were punk rockers, everything else. I mean, they got hold of this thing, born again, filled with the Spirit, walking in the gifts of the Spirit. And it was an amazing thing to see. And I was walking home one night after that, and I said, oh, Father, I said, is there any way that these kids can be prevented from going through these rabbit trails and these different things the devil causes them to go, us to go through, or we went through? He said, oh yeah. He said, in the last of the last hour, he said, I will raise up a people that will minister my absolute truth from the throne room, and people will receive immediately. And they will walk in the absoluteness of that revelation that they gain. And they will take authority over the enemy. So that, again, we rejoice greatly. Do we sit here and say, well, why did I have to go through that? Is there anybody here that isn't glad what they've gone through? No, that's foolishness. So you see, these things are going to come to pass. These things are going to be vindicated. And it's a glorious thing. I mean, just to watch what's happening is an amazing thing. To be part of it is even greater. So they shall need to hear the wisdom which I have placed in your heart. You know, we need to hear the wisdom that's coming forth from the throne room. I've said that. We need to walk in the fullness of our inheritance in Christ. But these people, they need to hear it. They will be set free. There will be many great and glorious testimonies. And they won't. That won't stop there. Then they'll just turn with everything they've got right against the devil. Amazing thing. The devil's in trouble. So he said, and those who come initially in obedience to my spirit shall receive, and they shall be blessed greatly, or empowered greatly. And the word shall soon spread throughout my body. Rejoice, my beloved ones, for I have everything under control. And you know, all this great mounting up of the spirit of Jezebel in this hour, it's Satan's final and futile attempt to maintain a grip on the hearts of God's people. But those who are faithful know that everything is right on schedule and that God has everything under control and that God is in control. And that's not a bad word to a spirit-led believer. Because, you know, where he leads us and where he constrains us, it's that spirit of love, then he leads us into perfect positioning. This is good news. I'll finish with this one. From this moment forth, my beloved ones, I shall begin to surround you with a strong core of those who have given their hearts wholly to me. Now that is good news. That's good news. I mean, people can do what they want to do. They can decide what they want to do. But I'm telling you, if people, Christians, if they want to be a part of the fullness of all that God is doing this last hour, they are going to have a pure heart. They're going to have a heart that's wholly given. And so we thank God and we believe God for those people. However we deal with them, whether it's here, whether it's in other nations in the world, through the internet, we thank God that he's surrounding us with a strong core of those whose hearts are wholly given. That's a much more valuable thing than we even realize right now. But I'll tell you, it's important. There will be no enemy in the camp. That's a given to those who are walking by faith. We've seen the trouble that an enemy in the camp has caused. Now we're going to see the glory of a body of believers whose hearts are wholly given throughout the earth. I shall surely confirm this word which I have just spoken to you with great signs and wonders, so that you will know in all circumstances, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that these things which you are about to receive, and those people whom you shall receive into your midst, and again, that can be physically, it can be however, in the whole spirit realm, are sent from me. So we have God's promise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this evening, and we thank you that you're creating a continually deeper and stronger image of the deepest thoughts and intentions of your heart concerning the glorious church. And we praise you, Father, for your great power. And we thank you, Father, for your great trust, for your great faithfulness. We thank you that you do entrust us with that power. And so we give you all honor and praise and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.